Hi, this is the Magic Apothecary, Mary Elizabeth Macari, coming to you from Brooklyn, New York, to talk to some wonderful people. I've begun my beginning the series of speaking to my elders and New York City witches in general, and how New York City was the pretty much hotbed for the Wiccan community at first in America when it first got here, amongst the bohemian slash hippie slash, you know, artistic movement of the Lower East Side. And one of those places, which was where I found my portal to my magical life, was called Enchantments. There's another Enchantments now, but it's not the same one. This one was on East 9th Street, between 1st and 2nd Street, 1st and 2nd Avenue, excuse me, and had been there for many years by the time I found it. And it was a delightful place, full of magical smells and oils and people who are knowledgeable, books that you couldn't find anywhere else, magazines you couldn't find anywhere else, hand-blended incenses, Sabbath celebrations in this big backyard they had in the back of the store, educational courses like the Pagan Way Grove, which I participated in twice, both in 1996 and 2003, and meditation circles and the Minoan brother and sisterhood work in the yard out back there. Just you name it. It was like for me and for many, many people, although there were other stores out there as well, which I did visit and liked very much. This one persisted. It stayed on. And I think part of the reason it stayed on was the tenacity of Carol Buzon, who picked up the Enchantments flag and went forth after Lady Rhea had to leave. But Lady Rhea and Carol Buzon together, who had met at Herman Slater's Magical Child and a Warlock Shop in Brooklyn, New York, way back in 1972, I think I'm right. We'll check. And went forward and did this beautiful store and worked in the light of the goddess. And Lady Rhea persists and still does the work of the goddess and the gods. She is what she calls herself, a Wiccaboo, which means she is a combination of Wicca and Buddhist. And so that's quite an interesting mixture. And she has so many wonderful things to say. This hour-long conversation I had with her was one of the most delightful I've had in a long time. And as much as I've learned, I still learned more. It is a wonderful thing to speak to your elders in the craft and find more than you thought you ever could know in their on their fingertips, in their hands. And they give it to you most of the times freely and with love and light. And she most certainly is a person who is full of both of those lovely elements, love and light. A Leo, and with the warmth of the sun in her heart. So here's Lady Rhea and me talking about all kinds of things, from her new book coming out, to her other books, to her art, to her walking in the light of the goddess. Take a listen.
And happy spring equinox. It's coming.
Yes.
Very, very exciting. And I'm looking forward to the release of the Enchanted Formulary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's coming out now.
Right.
You know,
right.
This week should be available sometime this week on Amazon.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about you too, because people want to know about you too as well. And definitely talk about the formulary. So this podcast is getting to be kind of big. I'm doing this thing where I do an outreach about education. And what I'm focusing on right now is the beginning of Wicca or witchcraft
in
New York City.
Yeah.
And of course, we're starting with you guys. Of course, you are the plug to the back, you know, where it began. So
yes.
I want to talk to you about how that happened, how you got attracted to it in the first place. You want to talk as long and as much as you can.
I'm going to give you some real historical information.
Excellent. Good.
About myself, about the craft in New York.
Excellent.
When I started, well, actually, I was very young when I got interested in witchcraft. I went to the school library to see if there was anything on witches, and all I could find was the Salem trials, which of course made me very sad to read how Tituba was so misunderstood.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a Bronx girl in New York in the 50s and 60s, we were also already a very cultural melting pot.
Right.
The city, we had people from all over. We had all every kind of ethnic race possible: Hindu, Italian, Germans, Jews, Greeks. I mean, blacks. Everybody was here. So I already had this, and being that I lived through civil rights and cheered it on, and I couldn't even understand the concept of it because in New York, we all lived together, we
That's
all
true.
got along, and when I started really learning that kids were being blocked from an education, I was like, well, not in my school. My teachers didn't give a shit what color you were.
That's
You
right.
better do your homework. You better learn your letters. You better learn this. And she was on all of the students. I never saw educational discrimination growing up. So that to me was a big surprise, learning that was outside of New York. So New York was always a little more, because we're such a huge city and such a melting pot, New York was always more on the edge of the new things were a little more accepted. Beatniks were a little more accepted. I was 12 years old and I would sneak on the train with my girlfriend. We would tell our parents we were going somewhere else. We'd head down to the village to see the poets
Oh, nice.
talking in the coffee houses, so beatniks. And then later on we became hippies, which of course I was a hippie. My age group, and I was always very fascinated. I used to tell my friends, who now, 50 something years later, we're friends on Facebook. And when I talk about the goddess, they always say, like, but Rhea was always like this. Rhea used to talk to the trees. I used to tell them about this white goddess amongst the willow trees down in the park, and they just used to say to me, you're fantasizing. I said, no, these things are real. And this was 10, 11. I mean, magic had always been a part of my experience in my own head.
Were you raised a Roman Catholic, I think,
Yes,
right?
I was.
Yes. That's kind of a magical faith to start with, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? My parents were not big churchgoers. They only sent would go on Christmas and holidays. And the only reason why they even let us go was because we had to do catechism. So it was like, okay, this is the rote, this is the deal. And if it was a bad Sunday out, my mother would, I would get up and say, I'm going to church. My mother would say, for what? It's pouring rain. Stay home. So I had no saints in my house growing up. Nothing. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite stories about my mom is her friend Anna was a big gambler. And she would say to my mother, Tessie, I'm lighting a candle to Saint Anthony. He's not answering me. I can't hit a number. So my mother said, Anna, you're doing it wrong. She said, really? My mother said, yes, you're supposed to put the candle behind the saint. Anna said, behind the saint? My mother said, yes, burn his ass, he'll answer you. This was
funny.
the extent of how my mother believed in candle
Yes.
magic or saint magic or anything else. She just was not, but she was extremely psychic.
Okay.
And she just didn't recognize it as being psychic. She called it common sense. And when I would tell her that I knew I was psychic, she would say to me, well, you're very empathetic. So, she labeled me an empath. She didn't want me to get involved in any of this. She was actually very afraid of it. But that's because they already knew I was like this. So they were trying to steer me away from it.
They're worried about you.
Yeah, and of course I understand it because I used to tell my daughter, when you grow up, I don't want you to read people for a living.
Find another
Why?
way.
Because it's a hard life.
Yeah, it is.
It's
It
a
is.
very hard life. But it's here. It's my destiny. I love it. I'm going to do it to the day I die.
Well, and
But
you do it really well, and you've been a leader in the community for a long time. Like, that's a
right,
long time.
and part I think of what made it easier for me was that being psychic was embraced by the community instead of it being shunned. Where in Catholicism, I was told, "Oh, that's the devil. Don't do that. Don't say that." It was a hardship on me. And when I discovered the craft, which I already loved the goddess, it was like a breath of fresh air came into my life. But What Witches Do and Mastering Witchcraft and a few other books were already very popular in 1969, 1970, about that time. And there were these book clubs back then, which I don't know how many people know about book clubs, but they would grab you by telling you you only had to order 4 books in the year.
Oh, I remember these.
But they would send you 6 books for a penny. So I taped the penny to the order and I ordered What Witches Do and Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Hewson. And I sent it off and the books came. And I already was reading about What Witches Do and everything. And then I met Herman and the Warlock Shop and Pagan Way. And when I went to the Warlock Shop, it was to buy a crystal ball. And I said to Herman and invited me and my then husband David to come to Pagan Way because he was looking at this young couple. Here we were, 21, married. You know, he said, like, they're the perfect couple. You know, it's the maiden and the Lord. You know, like you can do the Lord and Lady so beautifully because they were gay, so they were looking for
Oh,
straight
they needed a
couples.
couple, yeah. So Herman Slater, we talk, is very famous. I haven't brought him up on the podcast yet, but this is the Warlock Shop, which is downtown Brooklyn. And he eventually opened a store called The Magical Child with his partner. And they were the place where that was like the hotbed of everything, wasn't it? That was like where it was like the fertile
If it
ground for it.
wasn't for Eddie and Herman, the craft in New York City would have never grown to the proportions that it did.
Right. Now, there was a whole branch of Wicca out on Long Island, I know, with
Yeah, but I'm
Raymond
talking about New
Buckland, you
York
know.
City.
Yeah, the city itself.
New York City. And many covens from Long Island and Queens and Brooklyn and Westchester, all because the shop would put up notices about people running covens so you knew where to go find one if you wanted to train.
That's
They
great.
would they were also, you know, an open advertisement for other groups. And we bought copies of The Green Egg and The Witch's Almanac and, you know, hard to get magazines. He carried them.
My people that are younger now, they don't realize because they have the internet, they can buy anything they want. They can find anything. We couldn't, and you certainly couldn't, right? You provided that for me.
Amazon.
That was provided for me by with your shop, but before that, it wasn't really around, right? So, yeah.
But so what happened was, when I went and he invited us to a Pagan Way, I looked at him. I'm a New Yorker. So I looked him dead in the face and I said, let me tell you right now, if there are any Satanists there, you're wasting your time because I'm leaving. I said, I know about what witches do. I have the book by Stufra. I read it. I know what goes on. I said, so don't play me. And he said to me, no, you're going to meet high priestesses and other witches and you're going to love it. I walked in to that first circle, which was in Lady Vivian's house in Brooklyn Heights. On Joralemon, and I will never forget it. I walked in, and I tell you, that day that I walked through that door, I never left. I remained in the craft from that day forward for the rest of my life, and that was 1972.
Okay, let me tell you something quickly. I'll tell you a quick story about me. I walked into enchantments in 1996 and never walked out and became a witch that day as well. That was the same kind of similar situation where I finally had the bravery because I too was afraid. I was raised Catholic and I thought for sure that the witches are devil people. You know, like we all think crazy thoughts from Hollywood movies. Went in, I bought a copy of The Spiral Dance, shaking from
Oh,
head to
the
toe.
best book.
Sure. Yeah, sure I was going to be over with, but that was the day I became a witch for sure. And it
The
was
Spiral
enchantment.
Dance, I still use to teach
It's a great
covens
book.
today.
Great book. Great.
She did the most excellent job of marrying traditional craft with the women's movement and how things are moving. She did
That's
a
Starhawk.
phenomenal
Still a genius. She's a
Starhawk.
genius. Yeah.
Love. Shout out to Starhawk. I
Absolutely.
still love
Absolutely.
you and I still use your book
Yep, me
to
too.
train the sisterhood to this day.
That's
And
wonderful.
we used to sell it in The Magical Child, and when it first came out and I read it, I said to Carol, you got to check this book out.
Yeah.
She read it. I said, we're going to use this to train the sisterhood because the sisterhood started in 76.
Okay. Okay.
So,
Well, that book's out. It's out quite a while. That's an older book
oh
now.
my God,
Yeah.
since the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, that
It's
makes
been out
sense. Yeah.
since the 70s. Yeah, it was originally a red cover.
Yep. I have the original. Yeah.
Yep, I still remember it. And I love it. I love that. And I love Starhawk.
Yep, me
And I
too.
feel that she did a great job to the community by producing that book. She
Well,
was
hopefully
fabulous.
she'll let me talk to her soon in the future. I hope so. I want to talk to her also, trying to keep this all going. Also, I wanted to talk to you about Chapman's. I mean, I was with you at the wine bar not long ago. That's now in the place where the original Chapman's was. And we're talking about the history
Yes.
of that place. I know you talk
Oh.
about that a lot, and you talk about it a
Yeah.
lot on Facebook. So you have told these wonderful stories about how this was at that point in time, that point of the East Village was very downtrodden and poor.
Yes.
And you got this store pretty much for a song, but it was a mess, right? So
Well, a
tell us.
song.
Yeah.
The song was that when I took it and my father, who was in construction all his life, I said, Dad, I rented a store. Now, my mother died July 25th. I rented the store July 7th. So
Oh,
after
well.
my mother passed away, I said to my father, you know, I rented a store and so forth. And he said, well, I'm going to come check it out. He walked in, he said, can you get your money back?
Oh,
He said, what the hell did you two kids do? Why wasn't I called before you signed this lease? This is a
no.
nightmare.
Yeah. So
So
it was a mess in there, huh? Was
the woman before, which goddess bless her, was rescuing cats
Oh, okay.
for the last 15 years. She
Oh.
had the shop back in the 60s and she was a designer and she had a boutique. Once the mid 70s started to pass around 75 and more of the hippie clothes were ending, she kept the store because she only paid 150 a month.
Whoa. My God.
So she was bringing cat rescues in there and it
Okay.
became that, so for 15 years she had rescues in there. The place stunk of civet so badly
Oh, sure, of course.
that to clean it out, we had to wear face masks.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was pretty bad. And because we didn't have a lot of money, Greg Sulivanchik, who was helping us build it, Merlin, he came in and he said, okay, girls, listen to me. This is what you're going to do. Because you have a lot of bad space, he says, we want to reinforce it. We're going to use stucco. So we went through 13 pails of stucco
Wow.
to do the ceiling, to do some of the back rooms, the back room, because it was really in bad shape. And at one point, we were doing the stucco in the bathroom or on the ceiling, and Jeffy was there, and he had stucco all over his hands. And we had this, remember, in the back of Enchantments, we had this old slop sink,
Oh, yes, I remember.
and it was stuccoed all over the bottom. But because it was stuccoed all over the bottom because we're sitting there, we're staring at the base of the sink, we're on the floor, he's looking at the sink, and all of a sudden this growl started growing in his chest. He leaped up and he attacked the sink with
Oh.
stucco all over the bottom. And I said, what'd you do? He said, it's so ugly and so dirty, I had to cover it. But it was like this energy building up in him because you heard this low guttural growl growing in his chest. He leaped up and he just stuccoed the whole bottom of the sink. We were hysterical. And the
Gosh.
fun we had in the backyard in the summer building the
Oh,
place,
yeah.
we would get watermelons, cut them open, soak them in vodka.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, after we all killed ourselves in the heat, we had no air conditioning.
Of
We
course.
built the store in the summer. It was
Oh.
dying in there.
Oh my gosh.
We would go in the backyard. It was so beautiful and so refreshing. We had blossoming magnolia tree, a peach tree that gave peaches, and we were eat, sucking on watermelon infused vodka. We had such great times. We did our first Samhain ritual in the backyard. There were great people alive back then, like David Ganesha and Lord Lowick,
Okay.
Kenny would come, and you know, Steve Ritholtz and Jeffrey Whitfield. All these people have since passed.
Yeah.
But they're not forgotten.
Well, their energy is there still.
And they're never forgotten. We recognize them every Samhain. Mm. We call out their names. They're still with us. Carol and I had, we took a big risk opening up the store.
Yeah.
Later on, I had my daughter. And by the time she was two, I had come to the realization either I was going to be an occult store owner or a mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that was the reason why I sold out to Carol, was it was becoming entirely too hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. I ran a studio for a while. It's very difficult to keep that going. It's very hard. It's a child itself, you know, it's a child.
And I couldn't be getting home 9, 10 o'clock at night anymore.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Yeah.
And child needs a routine.
Right. You're right. That's right.
And I don't regret a day of it. She's
a lovely child. She's wonderful. She's smart. You did a wonderful job with her. Yeah. So
she's never given me a day of trouble. She was always a good girl. My father used to say to me, "Your mother's curse didn't work. She's nothing like
she's
you.
She's not like you." Everybody's mother says that, right? Everybody's mother said, "I hope she's like just you. Like you." Yeah, exactly. So then you left when she was very young. So what happened to you after that? Our enchantments kept going. Carol kept it going for many, many years. And then many of us in my generation, a little bit, just a little bit younger than you, had found that as the center of which, you know, that was the place to go. That, and there was
and
a few
was
other
so,
places, but that was the place.
I was so happy that it remained that way. It was my heart, my wish that it remained that way.
It did.
I owned a store in Yonkers for a while. I tried my hand at owning a Botanica.
Right.
The biggest, and it was the biggest mistake I ever made, which I learned the most from, which is never open up a store in an area where you don't speak the language.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
If I had opened it up more in an area that was more English-speaking, it might have been different. But I chose a Spanish area, and I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, so yeah.
And even after all these years of working in and out of Botanicas, I still don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I can tell you any product name, but I can't string a sentence together. It's just, I'm just not lingual that way.
Yeah.
But I did continue with the craft. I did continue training people in the Bronx and Westchester. I've continued all these years. I did go back to Manhattan for a short time when she was six. Mm. But again, she was still too young.
Yeah, yeah, it's still
it was
young.
Still too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I opened up one in the Bronx because then I would be near her. Like after school, she came to work.
Okay.
So Tara grew up in stores.
And witchcraft stores. Interesting.
Absolutely.
How many children do that, right?
Jody. Penny, yeah, they did too. You know,
okay.
They grew up in Salem.
Well, that's true.
But you know, when you talk to the kids later on, they tell you it was tough because they were the only ones that their parents were witches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
If I had a coven of 5 or 6 people in the Bronx, that's so much smaller an amount of people, not even 1/1000% of the rest of the area that was straight Catholic.
Right, right.
One little boy, when she was a little girl, told her, "Well, when you grow up, you can't get married because you won't be able to go into a church because you're not Catholic."
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
And she came home crying.
Oh. Yeah, I understand. My son went through some of that. My son actually experienced the backyard of enchantments when I was taking Grove. And I took Grove twice. But the first time I took it, he was only 4 or 5. And he used to sit up in your tree and watch the entire class from up there.
Yeah.
And it was like pretty cool. He used to, Joe Zukowski was running that at that time. He used to make a bonfire.
Oh,
and
Joe.
Yeah. So you know him,
my
obviously.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Oh, of course.
We're going to be talking to him too, because I can't wait to talk to him because
he
he's fun.
He came to work for me after enchantments, unfortunately, let him go.
Yeah.
He came to work for me in Fordham for a while.
A lovely man
up there with me. I adore him.
Me too.
And I adore Jezebel.
Me too.
And we've done the Witch's Ball together, and she's done some phenomenal performances.
Yeah, she's very interesting.
She's
wonderful historian. She
beautiful.
Is. Yep.
Beautiful belly dancer
and performer.
Very, yeah. and he's a great actor.
He is a great actor.
I'm happy for them that they found that down south when they moved, that they got more involved in theater.
Yes, that's good.
And, you know, it's not, and I want people to know it's not always about art. Making art isn't always about making money.
Right.
People associate art's values at, well, what does it give you financially? It's what it gives you inside.
Right. Well, this is, we're talking about your art. Witchcraft is your art. You are an artist.
Yeah.
Right. And, and a craft, and a craftswoman as well. You're both.
Right. So, well, I didn't know the candles were art for about 20 years.
Yeah, they certainly are. I remember I worked for you. I worked for you about a week or so. And I couldn't continue. It was too far for me, but I could not do it. You were like, oh, this is easy. Just put this glitter. It's not. I didn't know what I was. I was a mess. I was covered with litter from glitter from head to toe. I couldn't do it right. Still can't do it. But it's like you have a way with your hands and magic that is quite beautiful. So how did you come up with all these the sigils and the idea of the pictures and how you draw them? How did that come to you? Was that at enchantments or privately?
It was at the Magical Child.
Okay.
Herman ordered candles and the wrong ones were sent, and I had signed a delivery for them while he was out to lunch.
Oh.
And when he came back, he started screaming he was going to kill me.
So you worked for him too, also for a little while. You worked in the store.
Oh, Carol and I both worked for the Magical Child.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we left to open enchantments.
Oh. Okay.
He was supposed to sell it to us.
Okay.
We were buying it.
Okay.
And he changed his mind.
Ah, all right. I see.
But we had already raised the money to buy it from him, so we opened up enchantments.
I see.
That's how that happened.
Oh, okay.
It was scary, too.
That's a little bit of history. Not a lot of people know that. That's interesting.
He was not happy with us in the beginning, let me tell you.
Of course, yeah. But it's competition, probably. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and he was hurt, you know. He expected us to just stay on working for him when we were only 30. We had our own dreams.
Right, right, of course.
You know, and living through that experience, though, I will tell you that it taught me a lot about honoring other people's dreams when you think their dreams are going to coincide with yours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it ends up that that's not what it's going to be. And that lesson that I had to live through with Herman taught me a lot about compassion. Mm. When someone else's dream that I thought was part of mine is not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to learn to release people to their own dreams
and
wish them the best for it, because we had our own dream.
Yeah, and thank God for it. Thank God is for it.
Yes, and so, but at the same time, you know, you cannot hold another back from what their desire is, like in that sense.
That's right.
And that taught me a lot about compassion. I'm a practicing Buddhist
right.
as well. I'm a Wicca Boo.
Okay.
But the candle, so when he started screaming at me, he pulled out a candle and I said, well, what's a pullout? What do you mean I signed for a pullout? And he started shaking it at me. And he said to me, this you must sugar abroad. This is a pullout. And I watched this beautiful green candle bouncing in and out of the glass.
Mm.
And it hit me. I said, oh, my God, give me that. And I carved my first candle. And it sold for $3.
Yep. I can imagine. Yeah.
Yep. It sold for $3. Things were very cheap in the 70s.
Right. Right. It was a new thing. People didn't know what it was, you know, so it wasn't, and the prices were different, you know, of course.
Yeah, that was a good price for a candle.
Right.
Although we did sell spell kits that were $25.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot at that time. Yes.
Yes. But In defense of the spell kit, it came with a total set of instructions.
Right.
It came with the ink,
mm-hmm.
the dove's blood or dragon's blood ink.
Mm-hmm.
It came with two candles, incense,
mm-hmm.
a bath, the oil,
wow.
the parchment
That's a
paper.
Lot. Yeah.
Right. and herbs and a talisman. So I mean, like,
oof,
it
yeah,
was
everything
a
you need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's wonderful that he
box.
Did that. And you,
yeah.
But the enchantments did it also. I remember that my first spell I ever did, I did a spell kit. That's the first spell I ever did. I just grabbed the bag and go. That's
yeah.
a great idea.
These were box sets, and he was selling them for $25, which, you know, like I said, was a lot of money for the time.
Right.
But it came with packed, and you could still find the recipes for the spell kits in the back of the Magical Formulary.
Yes, I have both of those books. I love those books.
Okay,
his formularies,
so
yeah, lovely.
There's one for success, there's one for love, there's one for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had Iron Crossing. People would call up and complain about their life, and he would sit on the phone, he'd listen for 5 minutes.
Mm.
And then he would say, okay, dear, listen, take 2 Iron Crossings and call me in the morning.
That's perfect. I'm going to remember that, because people bother me with that stuff too. I'm going to remember that.
Take 2 Iron Crossings and call me
and call me in the morning.
Take 2 aspirins and don't bother me.
That's funny. He was funny.
So, Herman was priceless. Eddie was magical and a sense of true magician.
Mm-hmm.
He was above and beyond anything I've ever met, even in this point in my life.
Well, you just put a picture of him up today. I just saw that. So he's in the air
mm-hmm.
today around you. So you want to tell
he's
us who he was to you a little bit?
Eddie is the creator of – he was a gardenarian. He was Welsh. Then he became gardenarian.
Mm.
And then there were problems and issues in the 70s with the gardenarian tradition being straight.
Mm-hmm.
Male and female.
Yeah, yeah.
Feeling that, you know, a gay male could not equal a straight male as far as the magical act of what's to happen between the perfect couple.
Right.
So he was kind of being pushed out, and he said, and I was waiting to be initiated.
Mm.
So I was to be initiated in Yule of 72.
Mm.
And it didn't happen until Candlemas of 73.
Okay.
Because the coven fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and I was crying, and he said to me, watch what I do. And he created a gardenarian book of shadows called the New York Wicca.
Really?
It has the same sacred holy names. It had a few changes in the book. It had a few changes in the book, not by much. And actually, I liked some of the changes better.
Yeah.
What he did, which I always admired, was instead of the salt and water being mixed together,
mm-hmm.
he gave each element its own purpose.
Mm.
So when you bless the salt, you bless the water, you bless the fire.
That's been actually handed down to me as a thing you do. I mean, it's not like, I know that you can mix the salt and the water when you're consecrating your water on your altar, sort of to create the ocean. That's what people believed it was. Now it's like, or I've been told often, no, you don't mix them, you know, so that comes directly from his work. That's pretty interesting.
It comes from his work. Yes.
I didn't even know that. See, thank you. And what's the name? This is his book of shadows, but it's never been published, right? That's never been published.
No. New York Coven of Witches, New York Wicca does not publish their material. The Bull of Heaven is the comprehensive. Oh,
yeah, that's
goddess.
A huge book. That book is interesting. Yeah.
Michael Loy, goddess bless him, did an extreme, I think it took him 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Of research, and he uncovered facts about Eddie I never knew.
Mm. Yeah, he's a real historian. He wrote a thing. It's a huge encyclopedia of information. It's wonderful.
And you know, it's also about, like he said, the rise of the New York pagan.
Right.
So our life stories and how we came about are in that book.
Yes.
And the struggles that we had. And so, you know, you also have to understand it was one thing if you were, let's say you were a gardenarian and they kicked you out,
mm-hmm.
like whatever,
mm-hmm.
which they really didn't do. It was just, I love them. I'm from the Kentucky line. So there was also an argument about the Long Island guards and the Kentucky guards
yeah.
and who weren't speaking and
mm-hmm.
who wasn't being recognized. And I tell you the truth, even at a young age, I'd sit there and I thought about it and I said, well, that's kind of stupid because once someone's initiated, you cannot uninitiate them. You cannot change history. So what are you talking about? You can't take any of this away. It's there. Once the seed of initiation is awoken in the heart, you can't undo it. The only one that could shut it down is the person themselves.
That's true.
Nobody else can take that out of me. I don't care who the hell they think they are. It's in me. It's there. It's been awakened. You can't shut it down. We're not the gods. We can't go dictating who can and cannot. But anyway, so I don't wish to digress. So
No, it's
what
good. Digression
happened?
is good. Digress away, because this is stuff that when you have to remember, people are listening to this stuff and it's on Spotify, which is all over the world, right? So people are listening to you and this history and this information in all these countries. It's in the UK, it's up in, in the north, it's all through Spain. I get listeners in France and all through America. So you're teaching a lot of people today, which is great.
Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That really does make me happy, and I
And you
love
are a great
sharing.
teacher. You're a great teacher. It's in your
Thank you.
books. It's when I'm with you, when I speak to you, I can speak to you as, you are my elder in the craft. And when I'm around you, and when I was in your store, which I know you had a lot of part of that creation, even though it was later on, I feel you and your energy, and you're a wonderful teacher, and you're a wonderful mother of this craft in this city. So that's why I want to talk to you first, because you have to speak to mom first, I think, before you meet dad.
So what happened was, when I look back and I think about it, if it had just been Eddie and he had just been Eddie and there were no warlock shop and later on no magical child, and he decided to go off and create this, it might have been short-lived, might have never even gotten off the ground beyond a small coven. Maybe a trickle here of, a third degree hiving off and creating another coven. But, like we who do covens know that the lifespan of a coven is usually not very long
That's right.
because we don't have the magnitude of a temple or a church or an incorporation helping us. These covens are done through hidden children of the goddess. Hidden children of the goddess means we do it through living rooms,
That's right. That's
someone's
where we do them.
basement.
That's right. The
You know,
backyard of enchantments.
right. So, and those are great luxuries. Okay. So what I say to that now is that if we didn't have the shops, this may have never made it
I agree. I
to
have
the
to say,
degree
yes.
that it did.
I agree.
And if Carol and I weren't so devoted to Eddie, to Herman, to the craft, enchantments, even though it opened me straight on to other things and not had kept that part of it going as it is today,
It's still
it's
going.
just a sh
It's still
It's a
going.
shop that sells witchcraft articles. It has no spirit in it of witches.
But it still has, the spells, and it still has the look of the space that you guys
But
created.
but it does not have the heart.
I agree with that. It's a little
It is
colder.
not a place that honors the goddess. Okay, it's a place that honors the register.
I
Period.
understand. Yes, that's what I felt when I was in there.
And that's okay because, in the long run, when I look at it, she sells my candles. She doesn't admit they come from me. She tries to hide me. She sold my books once and is afraid to sell them after that because then people might find me. But you know how I look at it? For the last 37 years, my work has stayed alive, whether it was through Carol or through this one here and owning enchantments. My work has stayed alive. It never died.
And it won't,
And
yeah, because you published it, so.
now I publish it myself. I did it through Kensington, and I have to honor Kensington. If anybody out there knows anything about publication, if you publish something yourself or through another publisher, the odds of a publication, a publisher picking you up, are very small. the odds of someone picking up a book that's been self-published for 18 years mm-hmm. is a miracle.
Right.
I'm a miracle.
You are. Well, it's you know, the goddess is there. She's with you. I believe that. And she wants it to be known. Yeah.
18 years of self-publication, Kensington picked this book up and said, we want to do it right. And they did.
That's great.
And I bless Bob Schumann every day of my life because he was my editor. He was the first true editor I ever worked with. Because remember, when you're self-publishing, mm-hmm. you're really going through a proofreader,
right.
not a copy editor.
Mm-hmm.
And copy edit was a new experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
There were days when I opened up the computer, the email, and started banging my head against the computer.
So we're talking about the Magical Candle book, right?
The Enchanted Candle.
Enchanted
oh,
Candle,
my God.
Yeah,
when
that's
I
the
worked
one.
With a real editor, with Bob Schumann, I was like, is this man crazy? I had nervous breakdowns, crying. Because, you know, I write magic. So when yeah. I write that the candle color is blue, yeah. I expect you to just accept it. But when an editor is reading it, he's like,
why?
Why yeah. why write it? I read that sentence, and I'll never forget that sentence. I'm reading, why blue?
Right.
I'm like,
oh boy.
Why blue?
This is a year's worth of information he's asking for in 5 seconds. You know, blue is
I'm
a
like,
symbol.
What do you mean, why blue? Of yeah. course it's blue. It's a court case candle. They're always turning blue. I don't know why.
But why are they blue? Yeah, so yeah.
So now I had to really
yeah. research.
Rack my brain.
Yeah,
yeah
to research.
Figure out. And he made me think, well, yeah, the hell, why is it blue?
Right.
Why is it not brown, you
right.
know, or black or
right.
white, you know?
Right.
So it really opened up my eyes to more in depth about myself and what I was writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I bless Kensington. I bless Bob Schumann, who I remained friends with all these years later.
That's that's a fantastic book. I look at that book all the time. I try to make your candles. I attempt to draw them. But your symbols are very powerful. I mean, they work. When I done magic from that book, it works every time.
All the symbols and everything that I do, I've tried to figure out for many years, and now I'm 67 now.
Mm.
And
well, that's a surprise. You don't look 67, but okay.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. But I am, and I'll be 68 this summer.
Okay.
But when I look at everything. And I've said to my friend, Lori Bizarro, Lady Thelestris, who runs the Temple of Hecate in
yep.
New York,
mm-hmm. yep.
and she's in my coven. And I said to her one day, you know, Lore, I can label myself a Wicca boo, you know, mm. I'm because I practice Bunpo. Mm.
Okay.
It's a magical order of Buddhism. It's the indigenous religion of Tibet. It's 18,000 years old, the
wow.
practice.
Okay.
And I've been fortunate enough to be involved and to learn from it. And when I look at the craft and I look at the Minoan sisterhood and I look at all the other different works of magic that I've done between, I have Tibetan art in my book. I have, mm-hmm. you know, Hermetic art in my book. I have, you know, Haitian magic in mm-hmm. my book. I have Tibetan art in my book. And I said to her, I just don't know where to place myself. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I think I just am a channeler of the universe.
Yes, yes, yes. Some people might call you an American eclectic witch, you know.
I channel the universe.
Right. Whatever's there that you need, you pull in. Yes.
Right.
But you're telling me from when you were a child, you were seeing stuff as a little child.
Always.
So you were always plugged in to the universe.
Yes.
And it's almost like the goddess called you for her work because you saw her so young and you knew she was there so young, you know?
Yeah.
She called you.
I'm a wooden spoon.
You're a wooden spoon? Oh, yeah, to stir the pot. No, I think more like you're the pot and the information is the soup, you know, and somebody else,
yeah.
you know, maybe stir it too because the pot stirs its own spoon. But you're like this pot. You're like this container of information and energy. And knowledge and it's going to be it's quite the legacy you're going to have, yeah. But that those symbols I know came from but those symbols were carried out and still and Joe did them and everybody enchantments learned them and there was a whole generation of us that went on knowing that was magic and only that but that was your creation, That's pretty cool.
Because, you know, it's like many years ago, I read about Agni and burnt offerings in the 60s, I think it was. I had this huge book. I wish I still had it. My first husband kept it. It was the complete occult philosophy of India, Western philosophy.
Wow.
It was a De Lawrence publication. It was like 900 pages. It was like, you know, 14 by 17, 15 by 17
wow.
in size. You know, it was huge. And I read in there about Agni, the god, and that he accepted burnt offerings. So, you know, whatever you learn stays with you, comes back another time.
Yeah.
And so when I started learning candle magic from Ray Buckland, Goddess Bless You in the Summerlands, I realized that candles are actually wax tablets that we use to send messages to deity. They're burnt offerings.
That's a great way to put it. That's nice. I like that.
And so by inscribing the seals, it's sending pictures that make manifestation in the astral plane and then come alive.
Nice. Wonderful. I just watched something yesterday about Egyptians did that as well, as what reading this thing, watching this thing yesterday about this one pharaoh that put a message to the gods on a very high pyramid by the Nile in gold. He inscribed all this magical sigil on it. And every time the sun hit it, it was like the sun was igniting it so that all the gods could see his message. So it's very similar.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. He was right. Yes. For sure they saw it.
If the aliens are the gods, then they see it from up there.
That's right. He was a smart pharaoh.
I really do believe we were planted here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that we evolved from an amoeba or from apes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they saw in those, and I really believe pigs were planted here too, as they are the closest thing to our DNA.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when they were discovered by humans, they were very surprised. Even Circe, the sorceress, knew that pigs were in a kinship to humans because she turned those men into pigs.
That's right, because she could, because they were the same.
And
yes.
that's
yes.
saying they knew DNA existed then.
Interesting. That's
There's
interesting.
A big hint.
Yeah,
very big hint.
That's interesting.
I think about things like this, huh?
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. But this is why. Well, this is why ancient civilizations, like, you know, the Jews don't eat pork, or nor do Muslims. So this is a tradition passed on maybe from something like that, that there was knowledge that was known in the ancient world that we've lost strings to. So those are the sigils that you came up with. And it is a wonderful idea to think of, because a lot of people say, well, candle magic, that's just fire magic. You know, I can do water magic. Yeah, you can do all kinds of magic. But to see it as
a
burnt offering.
Magic.
Yeah, so do I. But you can see that as a burnt offering to the gods you're calling in. That's wonderful that you're just saying,
and
hey, guys,
candle,
this is the thing. Yeah.
As the candle wanes,
yeah.
so we gain.
Right.
As the sigil is being consumed in the wax by the flame and being released slowly into, so you have to see it like a cartoon. See the sigil slowly disappearing here, but reappearing on the other side in the astral foot, in the astral plane.
Wonderful.
And once the sigil is complete, it takes its own life. If it's a house blessing, it becomes a house
right there. Right, right.
If it's a sigil of Lakshmi, then it's awakening her presence. And as long as it's burning, we're constantly igniting a light to her. And she's the goddess of lights.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Love it. I love that. I do. I love that. You just taught me a big thing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I hope the listeners will enjoy this, because this was part of my life's work, but my first love was not candles. It was oils.
All right. So let's talk about that, because I already have your magical formulary, which put out a few years ago, which came out. It's a little smaller book.
The new edition should be out this month.
So this is a newer, and what's the difference? I have the old one, which I love. So what's happening in the new one? And I love oils too. And I love perfume, and I love, you know, and I know so many people love that stuff. Let's talk to them about it.
When I was writing the first one, I had other oil collections that I could not get into it because I finished, I think, at Zodiac Oils, and then I sent them the next one, and they said to me, the book is too big. we can't fit anymore.
Mm.
This, you're done.
Right, yeah.
And I said, okay. But I kept saying, but I have the crystal collection. I started this in 1983. I don't want it to be omitted from the book.
Mm.
It was omitted.
So
the new version,
mm-hmm.
what I did was I most of the main oils that everyone knows are mm. still in there, like La Flamme and,
mm-hmm.
You know, Voodoo Nights and Come mm-hmm. to Me.
Right, right.
You know, and Van Van. I mean, all those oils are still in there, but I kind of restructured it. So they're now called collections.
Mm, nice.
So there is a love collection. There is a money collection. There's a spiritual collection. And now we go on to the other ones. There is a collection for the planets. So what I did was, where I may have had some planets under spiritual, all the planets are all in one collection. All the Sabbats are all in one collection. So you don't got to go looking for them by name. You just go to the Sabbat collection.
Yeah.
And there's the Sabbats.
That's
great.
You go
to the planetary collection, and there's the planets. But then I also had the crystal collection, and I didn't want the crystal collection omitted again. Unfortunately, the crystal collection is 55 fragrances.
Mm, wow.
No easy task.
Right, that's a lot. Yeah.
So I got that in there, and then I also have a tarot collection.
Oh, nice.
That I started working on some years ago.
Mm.
And initially, I was just doing tarot oils for the major arcana of the cards that I liked.
Mm, okay.
But when it came to publishing it, it kind of felt empty to just print the happy cards.
Yeah.
Okay. So I then went to work with channeling. So I took the card and I sat there and I said, okay, if you have a fragrance, what would you smell like?
Mm-hmm.
Just like I did with the crystals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I developed the tarot collection. Now, I wasn't going to do the Eight of Wands, the Seven of Wands, the Six
mm-hmm.
of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
Too many cards.
Yeah,
78,
yeah.
Too many fragrances.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have hung myself. And so I did the Four Aces.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's smart. That's good. The beginnings. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Right. And they can be incorporated to any of the, anything, any of their suit.
Mm.
Even if you want the Queen of Pentacles, you know, use the Ace of Pentacles oil.
And, that makes sense.
And process it as the Queen of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
The next thing I did was, I recently, from Rita Segarra, who is my, one of my sisters in the Minoan Sisterhood and, initiated, and, one of my dear, dear, dear friends, we work together in the Bronx. I rent, a studio from her in her house.
Okay.
So that I have a private studio to work out of. Because I no longer wanted to be in a commercial space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at this stage in life, I don't want to be tied to a key. I work by appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't, at this stage in life, if I don't have a client, I don't have to come into work.
Right. You're still up in the Bronx? Are you still working in the Bronx?
Oh, absolutely. Right in the Bronx.
Okay.
I love the Bronx. I'm born and raised here.
Well, it's good. That's good that there's magic up there. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, the Bronx needs it.
Yes.
And it has a lot of other magic here, too, that's absolutely fabulous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Montero
it's beautiful.
And Palo friendships are very deep in the Bronx.
Yes.
But anyway, so what I did was, Rita Segarra introduced me to Lenormand.
Oh, okay.
Lenormand.
Oh, those are beautiful cards, aren't they? I love them. I'm starting to learn them myself now. They're different, very different.
She taught me a little reading spread with it.
Okay.
And I was hooked.
Yes, it's
that
great.
That did it.
Mm.
I had to learn this. So it took me about 2-3 years.
Yeah, they're hard to learn.
You wouldn't believe 36 little cards.
Yeah, there's very much, so much in them, right? Hi.
You. And be so balls accurate.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, are they accurate? Accurate. Anyway, I digress again, of course. The rabbit's running away. The, so I did a course with her where we went through all of the Lenormand cards, and she started teaching us how to read with them, how to put spreads together, mm-hmm. how to interpret the story Bible of each spread, which spreads three cards, five cards, mm-hmm. you know, and that's hard. And if anybody doesn't believe me, I challenge you now. Go out and buy a deck.
Oh, I know. I've been reading tarot cards since I'm like 10 or so when my right. grandmother taught me. I still am going, what? What is, what?
Go out and buy it's a deck very, of the Lenormand cards. Get very a good deep. Book to go with it.
Yep.
And good luck.
And good luck. It could take years. Yes, years and years. I think but, the point would be to use them as much as possible, right? So you can learn them. It's just so hard.
Here's the surprise of why I'm speaking about the Lenormand.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I created a Lenormand collection of oils.
Nice. Good. Yes.
And how I did it was very unique because there are 36 cards. I sat down with the deck and I said, okay, card number one, the writer, what would you smell like if you had a fragrance? And, you know, I started getting, like the Lenormand cards, I started getting very overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to include this. I know that there's something in here that I have to do with oils, with this deck. I just, it's boggling me. And I have Alexander Cabot, my publisher,
yep.
mm-hmm. calling me. Are you done yet? People are waiting for this book. You know, we're never going to get it out for midsummer. You're taking too long. Are you working on this? To the point, one day he came over to surprise me, and he comes through the door, and he's videotaping himself outside, and he says, we're going to go see how she's doing with the book. And he showed up at my door. And he said, how's the book? And my hands went up like, you know, spread out to choke him. And I said, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
That my daughter, when she seen it, busted out laughing because she says, I know that look. You're looking to kill him.
Yeah.
She says, I know that mother look. Mm. I said, I'm working on it. And it was Lenormand was really stumping me.
Yeah, yeah.
I would get a formula, then I would go to the next card, and it would sound similar to the last one.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm so frustrated. And all of a sudden, it says to me, why don't you divide 3 into 36?
Mm.
3 is a charm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the message.
Mm. Mm.
Every 3 cards has one oil.
Okay. All right.
Hmm. I have 12 oils.
So it's like a path through them. You know, you stop and you have an oil and then you go on to the next group, right?
No.
Nope. How is
each
it working?
Each 3 cards has an oil that relates to it.
Oh, to each one of them.
Relate to that 3 fragrance. Those 3 cards are linked together.
Okay.
I figured out a pattern.
Okay.
Like cross, mountain, and scythe can go together.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they made 3 cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get myrrh oil, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have 12 oils. And what I recommend is you can choose, let's say you want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you need money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And you want to buy it with an elderly person.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to choose fish, house, and lilies, and mix those 3 oils together, and you have a magical blend that will work specifically with that reading.
That's making me very excited. I love that. This is great. Wonderful.
It ended up being the most challenging to create, and my absolute favorite. Can you
direction just by using the scent of sense of smell, which for many of us evokes a sense of memory or does chemical, actually smell we know changes the brain chemistry, will change the body chemistry.
And it can also open up the doorway to the gods.
Oh, you heard me. So I'm telling people how they work, you know, so
yes.
So that's great. I love that. You know, I was trying to explain what the Lenormand are. So I went into that so you don't have to do that. So now. So you have this publishing cut. It's coming up. When is it going to be out?
Maybe by the end of the month.
Excellent. Excellent. And how are my listeners going to find it? Where are they going to find it?
Oh, they can find it on Amazon. They could type in Lady Rhea,
Okay.
LadyRhea, LadyRhea.com. We'll take you right to Magical Realms website.
Okay. And this is if somebody wants to, do you do readings for people on, like somebody's listening to this in France but speaks English, would you do a reading online for person or on the phone?
Sure.
Okay, great. So they can look for you the same way and find a way to get an
And I
appointment.
do ship international,
Okay.
but you know, I have to discuss with them the difference of the shipping cost.
Right. So you can make candles, personal candles for people anywhere in the world.
My first candle, when I first put up the Enchanted Candle Shop online before I even had it as Magical Realms, the first, we're so excited. It's like 1997. We made this little website. My wife and I were all excited, and we're waiting for our first candle order. And our first candle order came in from Britain.
Right.
And we didn't know how to say to this client that, you know, the shipping is going to be as much as the cost of the candle.
Yep.
So we didn't. We were so thrilled to have the order and to have it from Britain because my wife's mother is from Wales, England, that we were like, we shipped it out anyway. You know, it was just like, it
Just
was
to do it,
to do it. And and to say my first candle, enchanted candle ever sold online was lit in the UK. It
Wonderful.
was lit in London.
Where Wicca came from in
London.
the first place, right? So
Yeah.
it went home in a sort of a way, you know. Obviously, Wicca comes from other places like Egypt and of course Italy and everywhere else that Gerald Gardner mixed things in his big pot of stuff.
Yes, but
Yeah.
you know, it is the concept of circle
Yeah.
is British.
That's
It
true.
was created in Stonehenge. Italians, Egyptians, Persians, Mesopotamians, they did not hold circle. They held processions. There is a difference. And the Catholic Church kept the procession, putting the saint on the giglio and
Okay,
the
walking through, yeah.
yeah, and carrying it through. I've seen some boy, they have 10, 12-foot giglios with the saint on top and have like 40 men
Yep, I've seen those
carrying
too.
it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, those are more than saints. Those are ancient gods, really, aren't they? You know, right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, this has been so much fun talking to you. I love you. Really, I have to say this, and I'll say it very clear. Rhea is inspirational to me, and not just to me, but to anybody I teach, because I spread that through me as much as possible. And as I'm doing this work now for the goddess, just sort of getting it out there. That's what I feel like I'm called to
And
do and teach. Just
if
teach.
you find out there, listen to me, folks. There is a New York Wicca chapter in France. You can check them out on Facebook. It's New York Wicca of France. There is a New York Wicca in Scotland, I think Ireland, China. Yeah, they're out there, you know, because John Hyland has done a lot with international covens.
Well, let's
But
hope, you know, like the next, maybe the next book you do or somebody else gets the information from you and works on this and then publishes not maybe the Book of Shadows, but the idea of it, what it was, you know, and how that can become like a set thing in stone. That would be wonderful for us.
But I will tell folks out there, and I from my heart, if you find a good coven that's working with the god and the goddess, it has very minimal drama. It's doing the good for all. Doesn't matter whether it's from this culture or a Book of Shadows that someone wrote here in America, and they call it Stregeria, okay? But they're a good working coven, go for it.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't matter so much whether or not it's my tradition or someone else's tradition. All the traditions that honor the old gods, the old ways, and are truly at the heart of the goddess and the great mother, our earth and the universe, are good traditions.
I totally
There are
agree.
no bad traditions out there. Alexandrian, Gardnerian, Wicca,
Doesn't matter.
Fragaria, Seax Wicca done by Ray Buckland. Beautiful. And that's for self-initiating. Starhawk, her spiral dance, if it, you know, if it moves you to go out there, if you feel moved to go out and discover the goddess, find yourself a good coven. And you know what? There's a saying in a book called The Kabbalion, when the student is ready, he will hear the footfall of the master.
That's right. Yes, yes. And congratulations for being a master. Appreciate that.
Thank you. That wasn't why I was saying it. You make me blush.
But don't blush, because it's true. I know I'm not just blowing, you know, sacred smoke up your butt. I really mean it. So, and I wouldn't be the only person who feels that way. You've touched many, many lives in ways you probably don't really know, and should accept that energy back for what you give out. So may it come back to you. And it has, hopefully it comes back to you tenfold, a thousandfold.
It's and ebb all you and flow do. As it comes in, you know, it's like tide, it goes back out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there's no balance.
That's right. That's right. I agree with you. But your wonderful representation of what the goddess can do in a life, and how much it can help all of, you know, help a woman grow to her full potential, which I think you're getting there, right? We're getting there. We're always in process. And you're a wonderful, wonderful teacher and a wonderful speaker. And I'm
it's
hoping
good for our
you
brothers
know,
too. Well, it's good to it's yes. good for us, the women, to hold out our hands to our brothers and show them there is a way to adore womanhood. You don't have to steal it. You don't have to rape it. You don't have to grab it.
That's right.
It's very approachable, and there is a beautiful way of doing this, and it brings the love and the respect between men and women in relationships,
and
just as friends, as human beings, as co-workers, as parents, as lovers.
We need it, because we're in this place and time where we're really finding this equality, you know, this inequality. And women, and I have to say, I talk to a lot of women, and a lot of times they end up talking about politics, witchcraft politics. And it's out there big time as a form of feminism and empowerment for women. And it's not degrading men. It's you're right. It's a beautiful way to understand the power of the feminine and not have to lose your masculine power either. So there's that.
And I love my brothers and the Minoan Brotherhood and my high priest and the New York Coven of Witches. And there's Gary Sudo and Alexander Cabot and
wonderful
Biddy
guys.
Apple. And
lovely guy.
All these names, some people may know on Facebook. They're fabulous people, and they're very supportive.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So you've been a blessing today. Thank you so much. I'm going to end. Let you go. It's been a long interview, but I appreciate all the information. And I'm hoping I'm going to go get the new book. So as soon as it comes up, I'm getting it. I love your oils. I'll be brewing up, and maybe it'll help me learn those cards better when I use those oils. I think so.
I definitely gave.
I hope
Vita
so.
Guided me in some very good definitions.
Yep.
On the cards, so that I was able to explain them and why you would choose, like I said earlier, if you're buying a house with your mother, you're going to choose the house, the fish, because you need the money, and the lilies, because it's a senior.
Right, right. And that makes it clearer to me right away. So you're, again, a fantastic teacher, once again.
We thank Rita Segarra. Read Lenormand, too, online. Yeah.
Well, if you want, you know what, when we're done, if you want to send me a quick note on Facebook with all of her information, I'll put her up and her, you know.
Oh,
her,
yeah, you should interview her. She's fabulous.
I would love to. I would love to, because I really want to learn that stuff better, and I'm sure many of my listeners want to learn it. And I can then give them the information on the podcast. They can just go check her out, and you also, and your books and everything else.
Oh,
I'll put up
God
all the links.
Bless your heart. Yep. Thank you for the great work you're doing and sharing all of this with your audience.
Now, of course.
And I know it's a lot of work on your part, too. And I am very grateful for being interviewed. Thank you so much.
You're
and
very
blessings
welcome.
To everyone. Happy spring.
Yes. Blessed Ostara.
It's about to sprung. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Have a good evening. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Blessed be.
You Bye-bye. Too. Thanks. Okay. So that was Lady Rhea and I discussing so many different things. I love the idea of a candle spell, which I see in very much the same way she was discussing, but as a burnt offering to a god. I thought that was a quite intense way to think of it, and that it was burning on the astral. And also her invocation of the idea of how oils connect us to the gods,
This makes a lot of sense to me because of not only the idea that I was discussing, which is sort of a sense memory and an activation of the chemical composition of the brain and the neurological pathways of the waves of the brain, just like sound changes our brain chemistry, so does smell, and also the energy from the flowers and the plants that are being made into oils become part of us when we inhale them, and thus are divine, and thus are part of the gods, and thus are therefore and from the gods. It's very interesting, all of this. And also, this look into the Lenormand cards, which are a different kind of a fortune telling card. Has nothing to do with tarot, has something to do a little bit with playing cards, but more to do with just plain up fortune telling. And this has become quite the thing recently. And I myself am trying to study them and find the time to try to memorize them. It's very involved and very different than tarot. So I use it sometimes to add to my tarot readings, but I'm a novice at it. And I love the fact that Lady Rhea has a new book coming out. This book is coming out the end of this week, I think, or at least by, I think she said, Ostara, which would be around March 20th. So she also has other books available on Amazon if you want to find them. She has a website called the Magical Realms, Magical Realms, and also she has private readings that you can get done with her, as well as candles that you can have made for you specifically, or candles you can buy for any purpose up on her website. She also has The Enchanted Candle, which is a fantastic book. I've used for a long time. I use it all the time. It's up to about $42 now, and there's $35 now on Amazon, but it's because it's so much. It's so wonderful and so rich and big and fantastic. If you are at all interested in candle magic, you need to have this book. It has to be in your home. Mine is so full of oil and candle wax that you can barely open it anymore, but I don't care. There's also her new book coming out. There's another book called The Enchanted Formulary, which she had out a few years ago and has redone now in a much more expanded version. And she was talking about that just then on the interview. If you want to stop by any of the offerings she has on Facebook, that's a good idea. She has a lovely group of teaching and discussion up there on Facebook, and you can just follow her there, get to know her, get to see her work. And if she comes to your area, I recommend you sit in a class or take a class with her. I myself am now interested in a reading and some candles, because there is nothing like going to the original source of a creative art. And she is certainly that. This is her artwork. She has been this artist her entire life, a craftswoman and an artist her entire life. And I was honored to speak to her. Hope you enjoy it. Send it on to your friends. And if you have any questions about Lady Rhea, you can always get in touch with me at the magical, MagicalApothecary at gmail.com. The magical apothecary at gmail.com, and I will either forward emails to her free from you if you want that, or need a reading, or have need information about her books or anything else that's coming up, or how you find her on Facebook or on the internet. If you're confused in any way about finding her, I can point you to it. Thank you so much for listening. Soon we have our Ostara coming up. I'll try to do a quick podcast on that Sabbat this week coming, so that you guys can take a listen to that and find out what to do for the spring equinox, because that's a real fun holiday and involves a lot of Easter traditions. And I'll go into what that is and what that means as soon as I can sit down here and do that again. And we will enjoy that, and a new spring coming, and life and light. Many blessings to all of you, and I hope that the God and Goddess give you everything you have ever, ever desired. Thank you for listening. Have a good afternoon.